I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll recall that we did this really interesting show a couple weeks ago with two university professors who were looking at what they felt was a folly of public investment, public dollars going into stadiums around the country. Last week, NationStar Mortgage, bear with me as I give you a little background here, said that they would be investing $30 million over 3 years in Milwaukee's troubled mortgage market. They also will contribute to the city's home improvement loans program and donate property to community organizations. This ties into the whole debate about the arena in Milwaukee for the basketball team, the Bucks, because Wes Edens, one of the new owners of the Milwaukee Bucks, has deep ties with NationStar. He's the co-founder and co-chair of an investment group that bought NationStar some years ago. They own thousands of properties in Milwaukee. 150 properties are vacant. They are in foreclosure. Many are in terrible condition. And this was discovered by one of our guests this hour, Keisha Crum, who's the lead organizer for Common Ground. They're a nonpartisan organization of small businesses, congregations, nonprofits, colleges, labor unions based in southeastern Wisconsin, working on substantial quality of life issues. And they became involved in the arena debate in 2013. So we are delighted to have Keisha with us in our studios here in Milwaukee. And also with us is Jennifer O'Hare, who is chairperson of the Common Ground Fair Play team. Keisha is the lead organizer at Common Ground, and she was the one who discovered, doing research, of the links between NationStar and the owner of the Bucks. So this is a big issue in the state of Wisconsin, and we're going to be welcoming phone calls for both our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Thank you both so much for being with us. Keisha, let's start with you. It's my understanding that you were doing some digging around, some research, and found the connection between one of the owners of the Bucks and NationStar, which has foreclosed properties in the city of Milwaukee. You found this, huh?
So Common Ground, we have about 40 volunteer leaders that are on the ground every month in the Sherman Park neighborhood, which is a zone that we're focusing on rehabbing homes for the last 2 years. And part of those volunteers' jobs are to look at every house on the block and to see which ones have been abandoned. Are they boarded up? Is the snow shoveled? Is the grass cut? And then also tracking who owns or who's responsible for those properties. So we have a very large base. And because of that work in the Sherman Park, our leaders were starting to notice these two names popping up, NationStar and Ocwen. And so then our leader, so actually our organizer, Allie Gardner, who's our Sherman Park organizer for Milwaukee Rising, was doing research on who is on the board of these two companies. And she called me in late September of 2014 and just said, "Keisha, you're never going to believe what I found." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Wesley Edens is the chairman of the board of NationStar." And I could not believe it. So we took a couple weeks to really vet it and research it to make sure that this connection was true, and it was. Mm-hmm. And so then in October 19th of 2014, we had an assembly with about 700 people where we announced this connection of Mr. Edens with NationStar and the Bucks Arena and our interest of getting public money for recreation facilities.
And let's take that second part of the discussion. Yes. In a moment. You were successful, and tell me how this happened, to get NationStar to give $30 million to make these properties better in some way. How the heck did you do that?
It's a story, I'm sure. Yeah. And my colleague Jennifer O'Hare and I, along with, you know, there's been about 40 leaders that have really been sleeping, breathing, thinking about how do we deliver something for the common good out of this whole discussion of public money for the arena. And it started with understanding the connection. in organizing, what we teach leaders is that we always want to know who has the yes-no power. And we were really clear that we had to figure out who had the ability to say yes or no to address issues that we were discovering in the neighborhoods. So it starts with really good research and just like a strong base of leaders that are committed to the common good and understanding this question of who has a yes-no ability and who has the ability to make decisions. Mm-hmm. So that's where it started.
And Jennifer, you had an issue here because you've been concerned about the quality of neighborhoods, the playgrounds, the athletic facilities, your children, you go to MPS schools, that they ought to have something that's decent. So lo and behold, here we have billionaires who come in who buy the Milwaukee Bucks and have some shady involvement in some neighborhoods that are of concern to both of you. So you've got a pretty strong bargaining chip here, too. Don't you?
Absolutely. And as Keisha said, we brought this all to light publicly in October. So at that point, we were making the argument that Wesley Edens and the other majority Bucks owners, Mark Lassery and Jamie Dimon, did not need our money. And because of what was going on here with NationStar, they certainly didn't deserve our money. And then we were making the case that our kids and our neighborhoods do deserve that money and deserve that investment.
So at this point, they have agreed, and how did that happen, to give $30 million for some important purposes in Milwaukee? How did you get that to happen?
Well, first we had to get a meeting with Wesley Edens. So we tried through all the standard polite ways, writing letters, making phone calls, and at one point he actually committed publicly to meeting with us, but we couldn't get him to follow through. We tried putting on pressure by going public at this assembly in October with what we had discovered about NationStar. That resulted in some NationStar high-level officials coming to Milwaukee for a meeting in December. But we still weren't getting to the people who could really say yes or no on we can really do something about the problems here in Milwaukee. So we organized we call it an action in front of one of the NationStar homes in it's in the Sherman Park area, not very far from Washington High School, which is one of the high schools we were highlighting as really needing an upgrade to their facilities. And we had a huge number of people gather there and a lot of media, and we, you know, showed everyone, look, this right here behind us, this house, which was literally falling apart, this is what Wesley Edens is doing in our communities. And so we did that to put more pressure on. Then we had to end up buying stock in NationStar so that Keisha and I and two of our other leaders could travel to Dallas to the stockholders meeting, because we had to actually get face-to-face. We were hoping to get face-to-face with Wesley Edens, but he wasn't there that day. So we got face-to-face with the CEO, Jay Bray. And by talking to him face-to-face, we were able to get him to come to Milwaukee to talk with us. And that was really the start of the negotiations that led to the deal that the mayor announced last week.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, and I think in those negotiations, because there's always a push and pull, and so we did get Mr. Bray, who was the CEO of NationStar, to come to Milwaukee in June of 2015. And then a month later, we had a follow-up phone call because we had submitted a proposal to basically say that if our city is going to give public dollars for the arena to Mr. Edens, that our common council and our city should get at least $25 million out of NationStar. And we had a couple of what we call actions, where we bring a group of people and we have a very clear message to our elected officials. At that point, it was Alderman Murphy and the mayor who were in these negotiations, that we wanted them to negotiate strongly on our behalf. And this is our proposal. That this is what we would like to see if we were making those negotiations. And then we just really weren't getting any traction. And so we had the phone call in July. It was the day before my vacation. And basically the phone call was that this is our idea, this is our 5-point plan, that we're going to have a conversation with the city, and we know that you're disappointed. And our response was that at that time, like, this is unacceptable. This does not deal with the magnitude of the problem that you have in our neighborhoods. And we're going to have an action in front of one of your crappy houses. and we're going to go in and clean it up, and we're going to box up the trash, and we're going to send it to you.
Oh, my goodness. You did that.
We did. August 18th. Because what we found...
What did you find?
So when we went back to the house that we were in January, and all the news media were there to cover the story, but we went back and we found this horrifying story. Sandra Taylor, who is one of our strategy team leaders, brought her son in to, you know, show him what she'd been doing, and drove up to this house, and it was worse than it was in January. Oh. It had had a fire, two fires. And the paint was ripping off, and then you seen this dead carcass, this dead animal hanging from the roof. And we just couldn't believe it. So then we researched to understand the story, like, okay, what happened to this house? Right. On this neighborhood, tree-laden street, kids playing, this house is just sitting there eroding. And it was weeks after our January assembly, NationStar sold the house to Odell Barnes, which notes himself as a foreclosure king. And after conversations with neighbors, we learned that 2 weeks after that sale happened, the house caught on fire for the first time. And then the second time, the house caught on fire, and there was a defenseless dog on the balcony. And the dog tried to get away, couldn't, and died just eroded, decayed over the side. And when we went to see it, there was part of the dog still hanging there and then part on the ground. And kids had been playing there. And when we were talking to the neighbor, she said, like, this is horrible. She said, that dead dog, and we didn't know it was a dog until she told us, a dead dog sat there for 2 weeks, stinking up our block. She called animal control. They said, well, the animal's dead. There's nothing we could do. She called her alderman, and her alderman gave her a bunch of numbers, and the animal sat there and died as kids played on the street. And it was infuriating when we really understood that the irresponsibility of just selling this house really quickly because you're getting public pressure to do the right thing. And our message was very clear. Clean up your mess. Cleaning up your mess is not selling to the foreclosure king. A house is not fit for a king. Cleaning up your mess is not like hiding, you know, your inventory from the city. Like, you need to give that list to the city so that we could see, you know, what shape these houses are really in. And so we had 80 leaders. We went inside that house. We cleaned it up. We got 13 bags of trash.
Oh, my gosh.
And we boxed it up. We only sent two boxes. And we went down to the Bucks office because we were going to deliver the boxes to the Bucks office to give to Mr. Edens to show him, look, this is, you can't hide from this, sir.
Right.
This is real. This affects real people's lives. And we were greeted with two armed guards. And then as we parked in the visitor parking, told that we weren't welcome because we weren't there on official business. And so, mind you, we cleaned up a whole house in a neighborhood. Nobody came to escort us off. Nobody bothered us.
Right.
And then we get there to the Bucks office, and we're not welcomed. And so we went to the post office, and we shipped the boxes to Mr. Edens.
Then you were noticed, weren't you? It would appear as though these actions have resulted in your definitely being noticed.
Yes.
Even though people will say you weren't noticed, you've been noticed.
Absolutely.
Right. So we've got that issue going on, and you've got money coming in to deal with those kinds of houses that you talked about. You've also got the arena deal with the city. What is it, $80 million of public money that's to be going for the contribution to the arena. Let's just talk about the whole idea of people who have gobs and gobs of money, billionaires. I don't even know what that phrase means exactly, billionaires. and there is a model in San Francisco, I believe, for billionaires to buy their own stadium because they have the money to do that and skip all the public financing, which is very problematic. Did you have a chance to talk with the Bucks owners about any of this, about you've got the money to do this? I know you would prefer, and a lot of people would prefer, for them to just buy the Bucks, buy the arena. You know, but they got the team, buy the arena. It's nothing to them. If you're a billionaire, $500 million is, hard for me to say this, but it's not all that much, right? Jennifer?
Yeah, well, we did. We tried to talk to them. We originally, when we first got involved in this campaign, we were asking for a broader vision. So let's go ahead and build the arena downtown, but let's also invest in the play spaces around the city that our kids and our community members are using. But we couldn't get any of the Bucks members to even talk to us about that. It's unbelievable, because we were talking about doing a both and you know, we could even make the idea of using public money for an arena potentially more acceptable to some people like us who are opposed to that.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes now to the Common Council deciding about the city's portion of this arena deal, is what you just proposed a part of those negotiations? Give us something to make our athletic facilities better. Give us some playgrounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this whole, the question of how did we win this? I mean, I think from our end, it's very simple. We never quit. We never go away, because we understand what moral outrage is, mm-hmm. and that if no one else is going to say it, we are, and we're going to fight to get resources for our neighborhoods. So that's our character as an organization. And all along this, if you want to call it the inconvenient truth that was discovered of Mr. Eden's connection with Nation Star and the Bucks arena, that we didn't have allies in City Hall that were willing to work with us to get something real. And so we had to do it for ourselves, and we had to put the pressure on our elected officials to do the right thing for us. Mm-hmm. And that was the result of Friday. When we got the call from the mayor on Thursday to tell us that the deal has been struck, there's going to be an announcement, and we wanted to be there. And so when we heard that, you know, particularly that it's actually more than $30 million, because it's $500,000 in cash to the city for the Strong Homes neighborhood program. And so that was, to us, we were very pleased that, one, we were pushing for $25 million, and so they put $30 million on the table that is going to make a real difference for homeowners that are trying to, one, stay in their home, and two, that if they're able to reduce their interest, which means it allows them to reduce their payment, which allows them to be able to afford their houses. Right. And so that's significant, and that's real economics for people at the kitchen table.
Yeah. And what about the playgrounds? Are you going to get those?
Absolutely. So what we announced on, was it Monday at the hearing in front of City Council, is that our position is consistent, that we do not support public money for the arena because there has not been an effort to make an equal investment in our neighborhoods and our playgrounds. So our plan is to make the proper use of public money an issue in the 2016 local elections. So at that point, we are going to be demanding an equal, so $80 million investment in neighborhoods and athletic facilities around the city.
Let's go to phone calls. Let's welcome phone calls for both our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're talking with members of Common Ground, and they've done, if you just heard this story, some pretty incredible things to get the Bucks owners to pay attention to their responsibility for houses that have been in foreclosure in very bad shape, and what responsibility they have to fix those. And we're looking at also their involvement in public financing for the Milwaukee Bucks Arena, the new one. Our guests are Jennifer O'Hare, who is chairperson of the Common Ground Fair Play Team. Keisha Crum is lead organizer at Common Ground in Southeast Wisconsin. And they, just to give you information, they live and work in four counties in the state: Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha. And they are engaged in three major issues: education, foreclosures, and health care. And I guess we could add number four, which is public financing of stadiums. So here's our number again, 800-486-8655. We'll be with you momentarily on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to, we got a lot of phone calls coming in. Let's go to phone calls. And Claire is our first caller in Madison. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Kathleen. What a great show. First of all, I want to congratulate these ladies so much. What excellent, excellent work they're doing and bringing out something that's really important. Kathleen, I think every taxpayer in Wisconsin, I don't care what your political stripe is, should be angry by this. This is so wrong. When we're whittling away on genuinely poor people with genuine need, whittling away on their food stamps or unemployment or you name it, and the right to vote, things like that, and meanwhile we're dishing it out to these billionaires, it's just so, so wrong. Cutting education and then we're doing this. And I'm so upset at that whole situation. And I'm so glad for what these ladies are doing. And right on, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Claire. And what about, I know there was a lot of pressure on African-American legislators to vote in favor of the new arena. There's been a lot of political stuff going on in the city to gain support. What's your sense for where Milwaukee is on this? My sense is that there are a lot of people who are very upset about taxpayer money going for public financing of this arena. Do you find that, are you sensing that as well? Are you sensing pressure on politicians? I don't know what kind of pressure they're getting or why they're deciding to go in favor of this, to vote in favor of the arena. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my sense of this is when we went to the hearing, we've gone to actually two public meetings, one in Alderwoman Cox's district and then the one that Alderman Murphy organized on Monday. And at each of those hearings, there were representatives from the Bucks that were there to make their presentation about the facilities to inform the community about what this plan is going to be. And to me, when you look at, I think the caller just said, this imbalance of our public life where the corporations and the government have this open door and they conspire together. They meet together, they talk, and they plan about how to use our money. And we as the people are really left to either react or complain or as these isolated individuals that have no power to affect change. And Common Ground, when we started 7 years ago, there were people that said they're sick and tired of it. And then we're going to build a people's organization where the people will have a voice and we'll have an ability to make and cut deals that affect the common good, not the private good. And when I look at our elected officials, they're, you know, we talk about the sense of the ability to reward or to punish. And I think that our elected officials were more afraid of the Bucks, the NBA's threat to take the team. And so they bowed to it. I mean, you know, we recognize Brostoff and David Bowen for having the political courage to stand up and say no. And they got enormous pressure and threats for them not you know, following the status quo.
Mm. We're going to find somebody and run them against you in the next election kind of threats?
That's what, when I read some of the articles that, comments from David Bowen, that was one of the statements that said that they're going to run somebody against them. And Common Ground is a nonpartisan organization. We do not endorse candidates. Our platform is really our issues and our concerns. But we're very clear that the people need a voice and they need a vehicle like a Common Ground to be able to fight to win, because the business community has the Chamber of Commerce. The MMAC was very much the champion and the vehicle for the business community to mass hundreds of millions of our public dollars. Mm.
Is there a place for both, Jennifer? Is there a place to have a new arena which would be good for economic growth in the city of Milwaukee and to have the community needs looked after, to have places that are not in foreclosure, that aren't, you know, in horrible condition, to have playgrounds, to have decent schools? Can you have all of it or not?
I definitely think there's a place for both, and that our public money should go for the greater good. It shouldn't just be this narrow investment in downtown that really enriches the billionaire owners rather than enriching the citizens that live here in the city of Milwaukee. That's what we are trying to express with our campaign for the 2016 election, which is that we can invest in our neighborhoods if we really want to. We can find a way. We were told by public officials over and over, there's no public money for these play fields. There's no bonding authority left. And then they turned around and they found a way to find money for the buck. So I know that if they really want to, they can do it.
Thanks, Claire, very much for your call. Let's go to Chris in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I would like to talk about what is a billionaire. I wish people would stop saying millionaires and billionaires. I want you to think of a 1,000-room hotel like a big one in Las Vegas, and every one of those 1,000 rooms has a millionaire in it. That's what one billionaire is. It's not 2 million or 10 million. It's 1,000 million. These people are not like us. And we should never, never be supporting them. We should be taxing them, but certainly never supporting them.
All right. Thanks, Chris, very much for the call. We've often heard that the new arena will bring a lot of construction jobs to Milwaukee. This email that's come in, how do we know or ensure that the jobs will go to Milwaukee's inner city residents and not outsourced from outside the area like what we saw with Miller Park?
When I look at the details of the human resource agreement, there are some agreements that lay that out, but frankly, our opinion is not strong. As this thing has been laid out, it's tried to compare it to the Northwestern Mutual project, which I think is egregious to compare that, because that project, that first of all, that company has a long history of investing in the city, living wage jobs, family-sustaining jobs, and made Alderman Murphy and Alderman Hamilton made a deal to get really good quality jobs for inner city residents. So, and that, to say that that is going to trickle over to the Bucks deal as we understand the details is just not true. When you really dig into the details and understand who's really going to get those jobs, how long those jobs are there. Yes, they're jobs, but it could be bigger and it could be better.
Mm-hmm. Taj in Wautoma. Hi, Taj.
I was just wondering, you know, what, besides the construction jobs that they're offering, what's the big deal about tearing down the BMO Harris Center? I mean, what's wrong with it? Why do they say that we need a different arena?
Were you convinced we needed a new arena from hearing all that was said about this?
Well, that was never our argument. I mean, we actually did a tour of the existing Bradley Center, and that, I mean, I think they actually made a compelling business argument of about as competitive. I mean, that was their argument, that it's not a competitive right. facility. We never had an opinion about that. And, I mean, our sense was that the NBA is the one that declared that the Bradley Center was out of date and that it needed to be updated. And our opinion is that if the NBA declared that, I mean, you can decide that on your own facilities, then they should, the owner should pay for it to be changed. That was always our opinion.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Yeah, and the students in particular that we had been talking with at various high schools throughout the city couldn't help but look at the Bradley Center and see how much better that was than the facilities they had, and then see that the Bucks were asking for more. So I just say, what are we telling our kids when we find the money to do this for the Bucks, but we can't find the money for the kids?
Thanks, Taj, for your call. Mitch in Green Bay. Hi.
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 One of the things. Hello. One of the things that I saw was an article that said it's going to cost the public. It's going to be a $250 million bonding, but it's going to cost the public more than $400 million on that bond. And the second item is, when they're done with everything, what are they doing with the Bradley Center? Are they going to turn it over to the local area for use or not?
My understanding is the Bradley Center is going to be demolished, and they're going to build hotels on top of it. I mean, on that land.
And in terms of the money involved, I've read several articles to that. The New York Times did a really good article a few weeks ago on all of this, that it's going to wind up costing a lot more than what we're hearing right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, when you think about the upfront, the cost that they say, but there's a whole process to bonding that it's upwards to $400 million. I mean, and then there's also in the city's portion of that $80 million, there's money that's coming out of the general, like our tax dollars, that are going to go for other projects like vacationing streets and some of the other things that's not included in the public upfront money that's going towards the arena. So there's a lot of money out there that should, like, the real cost to be accounted for.
So the city is responsible for, I know, for a parking structure, right? That's part of the money. And what else? Where else is taxpayer money going?
Well, the city is responsible for tearing down an existing parking structure that's perfectly good and in use and is earning revenue for the city. And then they're building one, I believe, just like a block away. The city is going to retain ownership of that, but the Bucks have negotiated to keep half of the revenue from that. The city is also responsible, as Keisha said, for vacationing some streets. There's a huge sewer line that's underneath the area that they want to develop, and I believe the city is going to take on the costs of moving that, which are huge. Then there's interest charges. There's a lot of little things that don't always get mentioned in the total.
Mm-hmm. It's such a glaring example of, we've done so many shows on this people who have and the people who don't have very much. And you take so many aspects of this, basketball players' salaries, for heaven's sake, which are just dumbfoundingly high, and how much these stadiums cost, and no assurance because people are investing in this, and who knows, maybe 10 years from now, the Bucks are going to be worth a whole lot more money. They don't have to stay in Milwaukee. They can go to wherever the market's going to take them, so they can become multi-billionaires. The whole thing really looks at what we're trying to deal with as a society, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about this land deal of, you know, 40, almost 40 acres of virtually like a dollar free land that the Bucks owners, the head of the Herd LLC that they developed, they're going to get all of that, all the profits for it for generations. And their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren will profit from that. And yeah, there'll be jobs created for a short term, but that does not deal with the disparity, you know, in our opinion, of the egregious use of public money that is for the common good, not for private gain.
Jeanette on Facebook says, what a noble group. Their courage and determination is remarkable. Too bad that our aldermen, who have comfortable salaries and benefits, have little desire to do the right thing. Perhaps Common Ground members should have classes for the Common Council.
That's struck me. I mean, you know, I think as Jennifer laid out our position of where we're moving forward is that our focus is really on the citizens and on the people that live in neighborhoods, that go to schools, and that are just trying to make life better for their kids. And we believe if we can organize that kind of base, that sends a message to the elected officials, which really they work for us. Because it's our money that pay for their salaries and that fund all these projects in the city. And that's our focus. And we want to be a powerful organization that the Alder people say, like, oh, we need to ask, what does Common Ground think about what we should do?
I think you're reaching that point. Let's go to Brian in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
All right, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I want to thank the Common Ground people for the efforts they make. And I've got a couple of real good reasons for having the stadium built in the manner in which it is and have the public fund it. And here they are. Excuse me, I must have static on my phone because really, and I can't really think of them right offhand. Have yourself a pleasant day.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. We'll take more in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. And our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And Twitter is @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls. 800-486-8655, our number. Keisha Crum is the lead organizer for Common Ground in Southeast Wisconsin, and Jennifer O'Hare is the chairperson of the Common Ground Fair Play team. They were successful in first discovering that one of the new owners of the Bucks had deep ties with Nation Star, which he's the co-founder and co-chair of Fortress Investment Group, which bought Nation Star. The company owns a number of properties in the city of Milwaukee in foreclosure, some in very terrible shape, and you heard Keisha talk about gathering all the junk in one of those houses and sending it to Nation Star, which got their attention. So they've been very involved in the whole Milwaukee Bucks new arena and who should be paying for that and if the city can devote public dollars to help to build this, then what about playgrounds? What about athletic facilities? What about making sure that people live in decent housing in the city of Milwaukee? And they've had some remarkable success. And that's what we're talking about. Phone calls, 800-486-8655. Tracy in Green Bay is next. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. My main point, the reason I called was I'm from Green Bay, obviously, I said that, and I'm a big Packer fan, born and bred. And when the expansion of Lambeau Field was in the works, and, you know, everybody was trying to figure out how to pay for that, of course, what ended up happening was a Brown County-wide 0.5% sales tax addition to the 5% state tax. And now we're hearing in the news all over talking about how the loan is supposed to be paid off and what are we going to do about this extra 0.5% that some municipalities have already started a savings account for. And this, my point about this is that Green Bay Packers franchise is owned by the citizens of the city of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And so we take care of our team. The Milwaukee Bucks are privately owned and should be taken care of by their private owner. I'm just not sure how that I haven't heard that argument made in relation to Lambeau Field versus building a new stadium or a new facility for the Bucks, when they are privately owned versus a public franchise, publicly owned franchise such as the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, the Packers are really an exception, and they're really an exception. It's a whole different model. You had wanted a referendum on this at some point to find out what people thought about it. What happened with that idea?
Well, we initially got into this campaign, we thought there would be a referendum. And based on the people we had been having conversations with, we knew there were still a lot of bitter feelings in the area from how Miller Park happened. People were still very angry and felt very left out of that and felt betrayed in many ways. So there was a sense that the arena by itself, if there was a referendum, it wouldn't be able to pass on its own. It wouldn't have enough political support. So we initially offered up this idea of doing the play fields in the neighborhoods for kids and community members to be paired with that to make it more politically appetizing, to make the whole thing more feasible. And we offered to go, literally organize our members and go door to door and say, you know, would you come out and vote and support money for the arena if you were getting something in your neighborhood? And we would be really specific about that. But when the Bucks changed ownership, when Herb Cole sold them to Mark Lassery and Wes Edens, all talk of referendum ended. They came in and they took over. They hired their own consultants and did their own strategy, and they ran the show from there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the call, Tracy. Let's go to Norma in Milwaukee. Hi, Norma.
Hi.
Hi.
I have one simple question. How do I sign up?
How do you sign up for Common Ground?
So, can you hear me?
All right. Well, go to our website at www.commonground.wi.org, and you can sign up there, and you can also donate there.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Bye. Joyce in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I went to a couple of your Common Ground meetings that were concerned with fair play for the neighborhoods, but I was wondering why you didn't fight the arena straight out instead of trying to go for equal money.
Yeah. I mean, our analysis of it was that we didn't think that we didn't have enough power to stop public funding for the arena. I mean, that just really hasn't happened anywhere in this country. And so our, you know, real question was, could we extract something out of this as a both-and opportunity, that if public money is going to be used to build an arena, could we also have public money for the facilities? And we developed the Fair Play campaign, frankly, because it was a perfect symmetry of that if the Bucks get a place to play, our kids get a place to play. And so it was our political judgment about what we thought we could win. Because our interest in our work is really, how do we have a shot at winning for our community and for the common good? And we wanted to come out of the box with an argument and an idea that could play, and that if we fought hard enough, possibly win on that issue. It turns out what we actually won on was Nation Star putting over $30 million into our city for mortgage, you know, rehabs and for mortgage refinancing and keeping people in their home.
Mm-hmm. So where are your efforts now, Jennifer?
Well, as I said before, our efforts are really looking towards the 2016 local elections with the mayor and the Common Council. We really want to bring this issue of what is the proper use of public money? How do we make sure that our public money is being spent on the common good? We want to bring that to the forefront of the elections, and we will have a very specific proposal for the alder people and for the mayor to respond to in terms of how we want to see this investment, and that'll be based on lots of conversations we'll have with people who live in these neighborhoods.
Let's go to Peter in Milwaukee next. Hello, Peter.
Thank you. I'm actually in Baraboo.
Okay.
I am a county supervisor and a school board member, and I want to applaud your guest on Common Ground. I think that the public services, that the public infrastructure, that all of our citizens need to recognize that what is happening in the sports arena issue is simply a replay of what has been happening in our state, but also across the country, in terms of privatizing all of the public's assets for personal gain. I do think that the focus on public education compared to the focus on what is happening with the sports arena needs to be brought to the attention of the citizens, and I applaud that this will become a political issue about what is the use of public funds for the public. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the call. I didn't ask him if he's a congressman. Do you know who he is? Is he from Milwaukee?
He's at Baraboo.
County supervisor? Oh, he's from Baraboo. Yeah. The issue is kind of bubbling up, and it's thanks to not really the mainstream media who's looking at this very carefully. It's people like John Oliver, who did that great piece on his show on mm-hmm. public stadiums, and the New York Times doing studies. Every now and then you look at this issue and you say, these people are making gobs and gobs of money, and the deals that they get for, you know, the parking fund money that's coming in and the refreshments and the other groups that are coming into town. It's just huge. They're making huge amounts of money.
Absolutely. And they're getting the naming rights as well. That's worth, I think, I've heard $120 million. So we're helping them.
$120 million for a naming right, really?
Yeah. So we're helping. We're putting in, you know, supposedly 50% of the money on this stadium, and we're not getting any of that back.
Yeah. Peter, thank you very much for the call. Jake in Oshkosh, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm a regular listener and great show.
Thanks, Jake.
I've been listening to the Common Ground story, and I couldn't help but think and call in and tell you how much this relates to your previous show with regards to campaign financing, dark money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And what Common Ground has had to go through just to get this far. So That's all I was wanting to say.
Thank you, Jake. Keisha, you want to respond?
Yeah, I think it's important for, you know, all of our leaders to be recognized for their hard work, because when you say what we had to go through, it was a hard campaign and nobody gave us anything. And we had to fight for every inch of recognition, and having the moral outrage to really have, and having the political courage to say, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong, and we won't stand for it. And we're going to keep finding ways to cause you problems, because you need to do what's right by our city. And our folks said, you know, because a lot of our people are people of faith. And it's like, that's the fight that we as people of faith are called to take on. To take on, to do justice. And sometimes to be the people, the only people that have to do that. But, you know, we are open to other people joining us because that's the kind of folks that we are. And we're going to keep that fight.
And why don't you tell us a little more about Common Ground? Who it's an interesting coalition of many different groups from various counties in southeastern Wisconsin.
Right. We're suburban and urban. Not only do we exist in Milwaukee County, but also Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties. And our members, as you mentioned, are congregations, neighborhood groups, schools, labor unions, small businesses, and it's really regular folks like me who have found themselves at some point in their lives feeling really powerless and have found that this organization is a way for them to bond together with others and try to regain some of that power. And the things that we work on are the things that our members are concerned about. So you mentioned some of those before. So the foreclosure, that came out of people's concern about crime in Sherman Park. We started looking around, what is something concrete that we could do to address the issue of crime in Sherman Park? And people started pointing to the foreclosed abandoned houses as magnets for a lot of the crime that was going on in the neighborhood. And so that is what led us to go after the banks to get the money to rehab those houses and put them in the hands of responsible owners so we could stabilize the neighborhood and increase people's feelings of safety and security. And that's really, if you look at that Sherman Park campaign on foreclosure, that's really the heart and soul of what our organization is about, is taking this big, overwhelming problem and biting off a chunk of it and doing something real and meaningful that does make a difference.
Yeah. Let's go next to John in Beloit. Hi, John.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'd like to say that with all the money that comes through and all the naming rights and things I just heard just a short while ago, one thing I don't understand is why the state or the government hasn't stepped in to restructure corporations. If they were to restructure corporations, like they were established in the late 1700s, early 1800s, then they'd be developed for to improve the communities and things like that, develop canals, build bridges. But nowadays they have it structured only for money. And the way they've developed it with the politicians, it's become a channel only to move money into politicians and to maintain a higher and upper individual class. And the government should step in and reorganize the structures and pull their charters, make them restructure, because otherwise we'll never have a middle class again. Thank you.
There does seem to be a change in what it means to be a good corporate citizen.
Yeah.
There has been. It's not been for the better.
Yeah. And one of the ways we see that playing out is sometimes with the use of tax incremental financing, and some of that's happening in the Bucks deal. And they a lot of times politicians try to pretend that that's not actually a tax, but really it is money that should be going into the general fund that should be funding needs that we all have, fixing our potholes, providing medical care, whatever it is. And people don't look at that and realize what that really is. That's like if I say I need to redo my fence and my patio, that's going to increase my property taxes. So I want the increased amount of property taxes I'm going to be paying to come back to me so that I can pay for these improvements I'm doing in my backyard. That's just not right. My taxes should be going to the common good, and the corporate taxes should be also going to the common good, not their pet projects like an arena.
Mm-hmm. And finally, a tweet from Nate. Most of the jobs created by sports venues are typically low paying and seasonal.
Yeah. And from our sense, I think to the the former caller about this question about the government and the corporate sector, I mean, our sense is that we have to build a people's organization that has the ability to bring about ideas and solutions to restructure the way that our world is going. And that's what Common Ground, I mean, really our job in the city and eventually our county and hopefully our state is to redistribute the power so that the people have a fighting chance to get things that benefit the common good and all of us, not just the private gain. And so that's something that we're really clear about.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for being with us. What an interesting hour, and what amazing work you've done. What amazing work you've done. Our thanks to Keisha Crum, lead organizer at Common Ground in Southeast Wisconsin. Jennifer O'Hare is the chairperson of the Common Ground Fair Play team. We thank them very much for enlightening us on all that they have done. Well, thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this interesting show, and thanks to Scotty for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Tomorrow, during this hour, we're going to be asking some of the most popular questions that the editors of Scientific American tackle in their new book, Fact or Fiction, Science Tackles 58 Popular Myths. So that's one of our hours tomorrow, and we hope you will join us for that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all of your great calls. They were fun today. Some of the calls were even fun. We had a good time. Thank you for listening on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.